I will say, like, my perception from just watching the women's race, I was like, wow, that is, it just seemed like a real hot start by Jo Haug. I mean, I think she took the lead maybe about a minute and 20 in, and Sadie and Jesse were right there. But again, my perception was like, wow, it's hot. Was that sort of what athletes maybe spoke about, or what the perception was during those initial moments?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to debrief with the athletes in depth yet, other than just getting feedback on how the skis were, what grinds were they on, what flexes were they on, what strategies did their techs use in making the skis, just to try and find what mistake it was that we made for the women's skis. And it was a bit misleading early in the race because, you know, we look like we're right there, and we are, but when you have slow skis, that could mean that you're working 20% harder than anyone else, and you don't know it. Nobody knows it. Coaches don't know it. But it quickly became evident that that was the case when we saw them at about 3.5K coming out of the stadium on the long gradual uphill, and Sadie and Jesse just looked tired. And frankly, they're not tired. They're in awesome shape, and that's when we knew something was wrong. It's just then a matter, when you pin it on the skis, of finding out what exactly the mistake was. And so that's the process we're going through right now. Collecting as much information, trying to use the standard rule of thumb of keeping it as simple as possible so we don't chase something down a wormhole. And I think we've stumbled upon some things and are testing them as I speak. I've had to turn my radio down because a lot of results are coming in right now.
Okay. So I just, from a kind of technical question, when we talk about like ski testing, and I remember it's been months since I looked at kind of the new FIS guidelines when it comes to, you know, how many bibs teams get and how many people can actually be out on the course testing. And I think you can have more people testing on like a short strip, you know, for gliding or what have you. What sort of limitations may there be this year when it comes to testing skis? If that makes sense, you know what I'm talking about, like the new rules that were set forth.
I do. Yeah, it's nothing that makes us feel like we're at a disadvantage. And part of that is because our team is, if there is a team that is a great partner to all other teams, it's probably ours. And one of the strategies that teams use for beating this bib restriction issue is to legally partner with other nations. And so we are in a partnership with Australia where we are sharing information. They're doing a fair amount of ski testing as well and comparing notes with us. And in exchange, we are often able to use one of their bibs. Now, the trick is, if, for instance, today they had one woman starting the race, we were able to use their bibs as we're testing for the women's race. But since they started no men, we can no longer use their bib in the afternoon. Just so people understand how the restriction works.
You know, when you guys are trying to drill down on, you know, a potential mistake like this, in essence, like how difficult really is it to kind of pinpoint it?
It's not hard to get close. It becomes a little bit more difficult to become certain what the mistake was. There are a lot of just kind of standard tests that happen, like we test 8 different powders. And all the powders felt pretty good. You know, we went with the best one. But the second best one wasn't light years slower. It was just marginally slower than the first one. And the third one was just marginally slower than the second one. And so tests like that indicate that we can eliminate powders, we can eliminate toppings and paraffins and things like that. And then you have a couple wild cards in there that I don't really want to discuss that are a bit more nebulous and need to be tested. Just some strategies with application. What order you put things on? Do you use all the standard layers, paraffin, powder, topping, structure, or is something omitted or is something doubled? How does that, you know, so trying to figure out what sort of wild cards we threw in there today makes tracking down the problem a little bit harder, but.
Okay. So here's a question kind of, and I've looked at, I guess I wrote like a very brief kind of primer on the Tour de Ski. And there's obviously, you know, there's a points competition, which is a little bit kind of a sideshow, it seems to me, to the kind of overall time and gaining time bonuses and so forth. And so, you know, the ski, like Jesse and Sadie, for example, and Rosie. Rosie finishes 20th, Jesse finishes 29th, Sadie 30th. So Rosie's 59 seconds back, Jesse a minute 20, and Sadie a minute 20 with the same time. And there are obviously time bonuses on offer tomorrow in a sprint stage when, you know, historically, Johaug has no chance. Vang in the past has popped some good sprint results, as has Osberg. But that said, just curious from a coaching's perspective, how do you now, or like what's your calculus in terms of how to kind of work that time back game?
Yeah, honestly, the answer is to not overthink it and to focus on making sure that all athletes and staff have great attitudes and recognize that this is about the final stage. It's about putting every stage together. And we know that a great tour result can experience a couple strikeouts and we can remain buoyant through those. And today was a strikeout for the women's race. So one thing that was particularly promising to me after the race is we had the full team of women come by and give us direct feedback about the skis, which we requested, and none of them were complaining. They all had smiles on their faces, and that's one of those indicators that lets you know, like, hey, this is the team that's ready to play here. And I was just very encouraged and proud to see the attitude that surrounded the staff and kind of the discussion following the race as we were preparing for the men.